You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And we'll have Dwight Howard for you in 15 minutes here on Mason and Ireland. Make sure you stay tuned. We were just talking a little bit about fast food. We had that crazy order at McDonald's, the $3,400 order at the drive-thru window in Australia. And I said, if there's anybody out there who's had tough orders, if you work in fast food, tough orders ring through. Or I also threw out, if you had to have one fast food restaurant for the rest of your life, only one, which one would it be? And for me, it would be McDonald's. I love a Big Mac, love a Big Mac, love my Chicken McNuggets. I love their hot mustard sauce, and they have the best fries in the business.
What's your weight at right now?
My weight is at 208.
I think those two things might be related.
You
just
think so?
Throwing that out there.
Well, it's always McDonald's.
Are you still doing the thing where you get the apple pie and dip it into a shake?
That is, well, you don't dip, John, get this right. The official Mason dessert is you get the caramel sundae and you get the hot apple
worse.
Pie. And then you dip the hot apple pie into the caramel sundae. So you get like a apple pie a la mode kind of thing going on.
Yes,
it's fantastic.
It sounds delicious. It's also your ticket to 215, if you know what I mean.
He had a whole helmet of nachos at the game, John.
Yeah,
I will never besmirch anyone who eats at a ball game. I mean, helmet sundae, Mace, would have been better, but nachos is fine.
I refuse, by the way, to eat a Dodger dog. I've already eaten a Dodger dog this year. Not the same, not the
Jorge,
same.
Jorge, did you have a Dodger dog?
I did. It's just a hot dog. It's just a hot dog.
Yeah.
Nothing different.
I have so much respect for you on this. Laura says you have no sense of smell, and you know that a sense of smell is necessary for a sense of taste.
No, trust me, I can taste everything perfectly fine. I just can't smell some stuff, you know, some things.
I haven't smelled anything since 1978, Jorge. I know how you feel.
Yeah.
Well, there's a guy online, Sergio in West Covina, who says he works in In-N-Out. Hey, Sergio, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
So do people actually pull up and order like $100 worth of food?
So the one most recent one I remember was a company ordered about 120 burgers and, you know, 120 fries. But it's not even the fact that it's 120 burgers. It's when people start customizing them, you know, tomato grilled onion, whole grilled onion. You know, that's the part where it gets us backed up.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that for sure. Hey, why are In-N-Out fries not as good as McDonald's fries?
You know, it's something about that McDonald's recipe that we just haven't got our hands on yet. You know, we're good Christian folks over here at In-N-Out, so.
All right. Sergio, thanks a lot for the phone call. I love the West Covinians. I was out there to see a movie a few weeks back. Thanks for coming on.
Well, and you're lying. You went to the movie and then you walked out.
Yeah,
didn't I say I went to see a movie?
Yes.
I did. I went to see a movie. I just didn't stay for it.
Yeah, right.
I did go to see it.
Yeah, it's true, I guess.
You got me on a technicality, but I did go to see it. I just didn't stay. Stayed, by the way, for the entire Dodger game. That was a big debate. The over-under was 7 innings on me.
Yeah,
seven
well, you got there like at the 4th or 5th inning.
Well, I mean, traffic was ridiculous.
Wait a minute. Now, that's not like you. You got there. I mean, I know you always leave early, but what? You got there late?
There was a Sig alert on the 10.
When Max Scherzer was starting, you missed
his. Yeah, there was a Sig alert on the 10.
Late.
I had no way around the 10. What
well,
am
so
I
you don't get
do?
Credit for staying for the whole game if you didn't show up until the 4th inning. That's ridiculous.
I was trying to be there. Let's go to Jacob in Fontana. Jacob, you're on 710. What's up, man?
What's up, fellas? Beautiful show, man. It's got to be Tommy's Burgers for me, man. Tommy's Burgers all the way. Grew up around the corner from the one on Beverly. That is the greatest burger I've ever had in my life. A little mustard, pickles, perfect.
Sergio, that Tommy's got me through UCLA.
Yeah.
Basically, that was my go-to fast food.
Drunk food?
For drunk food, sober food, you name it. Double chili cheese, no onions. Got me through at least 3 years of UCLA as a spectacular burgers there. Tommy's is great.
Yeah, Tommy's is great. Although, you know what? I don't like food. I don't like messy food.
Like, well, then don't go to Tommy's.
Tommy's is like the messiest of messy food. Like, you wind up with chili all over the place, chili on your face.
Jacob, you'll appreciate this. There's a place in the South Bay that is a Tommy's knockoff, and the name of it is Big Tomay's. T-O-M-Y apostrophe S.
Not ever.
Yeah, there's another Big Tomy's. There's another Big Tomy's on Olympic near Sawtelle. So
yep,
there
that's
are
what I'm
rip-offs.
Talking about. Yeah, that's a good one.
Thanks for the
man.
Phone call, Jacob. Let's go to Robert in Oxnard. Robert, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi,
great.
Robert.
Hey, you know what? For me, it's Del Taco. Del Taco all the way. I'll tell you why, because on those days when I work real, like, long hours, it's good for me to go home, grab a couple of those Del Tacos with a good iced tea, with some mild sauce, and I am good.
You are good. You are good. Yeah, All right. Thank you for the phone call.
I used to go to Del Taco in high school. Is that still a thing?
If you're going for Del Taco, why not just go for Taco Bell? I like Taco Bell. Give me a burrito supreme with extra sour cream. I'm all over it. By the way, isn't it sad that I know the menus of all these places?
I was going to say, I now think you're going to 225.
Burrito supreme with extra sour cream is where I'm all about. Let's go to Matt in Agora. Matt, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, like, John used to be a bartender. I used to work in a nightclub, Sergio's, Cantina, 600 people dancing, and then somebody wants to buy a round for everybody.
For everybody?
So what would that cost?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it'd be thousands, and then we'd get one tip from the guy, you know, $100.
Yeah,
you know.
That screws the servers.
And farmer boys. Yeah. Come on, farmer boys. Breakfast. Yeah. The hamburgers are amazing. Do you guys not have farmer boys around you?
No, I don't know what
that
is.
Farmer boys, no.
Oh, my God. It's the best.
Is it a burger joint?
Breakfast, sausage,
oh, breakfast
pancakes. They got,
okay.
It's like a restaurant. Almost all the time they take your order and then they make you park because they're making it fresh.
Right.
It's really the best fast food. It's still fast food.
Right. Okay. Right. Matt, thank you very much for the phone call. I've always wanted to be the guy that could walk into the bar and say, I'm buying everybody around.
What's great is, have you ever been to a box? Have you been to any fights in Vegas? Like, go to big boxing?
God, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's great when the high rollers come in.
Yep.
And they're trying to show off for whatever girl who's, like, ridiculously overdressed. Like, she's wearing a formal gown at a boxing match.
Yep.
And then the guy just goes, I'll buy beers for the whole row. And the guy's looking, goes, I can't carry that many. You go, you know, they're just trying to show off. But that's another place where everybody just basically, the guy's like picking up the tab for the whole row. I always love that about high rollers in Vegas.
Hey, what did you think of this Mike Richards guy getting the Jeopardy job?
It sounds like
he's going to get the Jeopardy job.
I don't think he's going to get it.
You don't think so? Why?
I'm wondering about how much I can say here.
I don't either. Google it. Just Google it. Say
that. Is there a scandal with this guy?
Yeah.
Just Google it.
Yeah. There's trouble coming.
Oh, wow.
I thought LeVar Burton did a really good job.
I thought Mayim Bialik did a really good job.
Yeah, I think either one of them would be great.
I mean, Mike Richards has been, I actually worked with Mike, full disclosure, worked with Mike at Reels Channel, and we hosted a daily entertainment show together. And he's, I mean, I don't know what the stuff is in the background, but he was always a great guy with me. I always had fun working with him. And he was the executive producer of Price is Right. Then went to Jeopardy, stepping into the job. Somebody called us yesterday and said the condition when he went from Price is Right to Jeopardy, the deal was I'll come to work for Jeopardy as long as I replace Alex.
Well, that would be smart, but the accusations that are out there against him in 2021 will probably scuttle that. Mm. So, but maybe not. Maybe he'll get it. You know, it's kind of like anybody can be accused of anything. So I want everybody to have due process.
Right, right.
So, you know, it's one of those deals.
You know, I was talking to Lindsay today, and Lindsay, I'm doing everything out of order, Lindsay, so just ride with me here, but it leads into this. Trevor Bauer is still getting paid.
Highest paid player in baseball. Highest paid pitcher in baseball.
Still getting paid. And the question is, should he still be getting paid?
Well, that's worked out from the – that's a union deal worked out with the players' union. Yeah, I have no issue with him getting paid because, again, he's entitled to due process. What I'm curious about, and I guess next week is going to be the hearing, you know, his lawyers just yesterday released more texts that says this is a he said, she said situation, that he's insisting all of it was consensual, she's insisting it wasn't. I think there is a chance – that there will be no criminal charges. Now, even if that happens, I don't think he's pitching for the Dodgers again. And I'm curious if he would even pitch anywhere in baseball again.
Right.
Just because of the nature of it. But I think there's a chance he may not get charged.
Somebody will swallow their sense of decency and sign Trevor Bauer.
Well, they normally do. I mean, the Astros signed Alberto Osuna. You know, the Astros are wearing black hats.
Oh, they're
anyway.
The yeah, they're the heels.
So why wouldn't they sign Trevor Bauer? You know, I mean, they people boo them. I mean, you were at the game the other night. They boo for no reason at all, right? I mean, like, just if they announce Jose Altuve, there's, you know, 2 minutes of boos, right?
Yeah, oh, Altuve, Correa, Gurriel didn't play, Bregman didn't play, Lance McCullers. Do you realize there are only five guys left from that 2017 team?
Right. And
it's
there's
McCullers,
only
Gurriel, Bregman, Correa, and Altuve.
And the management is all new.
Yeah, the great thing was Altuve struck out four times. That was fun. The bad news was that Correa hit a home run off of
Joe
Kelly.
That home run is still going.
And Correa held his hand to his ear like, I can't hear you, as he was rounding third base. And it was like, we just booed more.
So what makes the Trevor Bauer situation interesting is Major League Baseball has to step in and suspend him, or else somebody like the Astros will sign him.
Yeah, I can't believe he's not suspended by now.
I think it's due process.
I know, but
based
look what happened
on
to Ben Roethlisberger.
No, different sports. The players' union in baseball is the strongest union in all of sports. Everything gets negotiated through the players' union. And I don't think there is a mechanism to not pay Trevor Bauer or even suspend him without him having an investigation. And the thing that's really interesting about this particular story is how long this investigation is taking.
Sure. Already there's a hearing date for late third week of August.
Right, which is the third time it's been postponed.
Yeah.
And that's why I think there is a chance. I'm not a lawyer. Is this maybe after they do this? Because I was reading about it today. They expect the alleged victim to be up there for 2 hours testifying at this hearing.
Yeah.
And they expect Trevor Bauer to be up there for 2 hours testifying at this hearing. And I think because this has taken so long that there's a chance he won't be charged.
See, I think the longer it takes, the worse it is for him.
Well, but we're talking about
it's
two different things.
This long, it's taken this long to exonerate him of something. That suggests that there's a lot of evidence there.
Right, but we'll see. I mean, I think it's all going to come out. But your initial point is 100% accurate. He's not only being paid, he's the highest paid player on the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And he's the highest paid pitcher in all of baseball.
Yep, he is. And we got Max Scherzer to replace him, and I like the trade.
Is there any scenario which, okay, let's say this investigation breaks his way.
Okay.
No charges are filed. He gets taken off the commissioner's list. No chance the Dodgers bring him back under those conditions, right?
Nope, absolutely not. Absolutely
now
not.
Now that they have Scherzer, they don't need him.
Yeah, I don't want him. I don't want any bit of him. And somebody pointed out Trevor does have an option to opt in for next season.
Which he'll take if he's still being paid, but then there's going to be resolution.
I would imagine that all this ugliness is going to result in a suspension for Major League Baseball. And perhaps the opportunity for the Dodgers to void the second year of that contract. I would if I could.
Based on his morals clause.
Exactly.
Which they should be. And by the way, all these other guys have been suspended for what appears to be, and again, he says it was 100% consensual, but for things like if you look up at the case of Alberto Osuna or you look at the case of Aroldis Chapman, the accusations were far less than what Trevor is accused of, and those guys both got suspended. So I think a suspension is imminent. It's just a matter of how long it is.
All right, coming up next for you, Dwight Howard is back. And
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
He joins us coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. And returning to the Lakers for this coming season is a huge fan favorite from 2020, Dwight Howard. Dwight, thanks a lot for coming on. How are you, man?
I am amazing, man. Thanks for having me on the show today. I'm great. I'm back in L.A. and I'm happy.
Okay, Dwight, what did you miss the most in the 1 year? And nothing against Philadelphia. I've been there. There's great fans there. But the weather in Philadelphia always made me mad because it was really hot in the summer and really cold in the winter. Is what you miss the most about L.A. the weather, the people, what? What'd you miss the most?
Well, you know, Philly was amazing. I had a good time there, even though it did snow a lot. I actually enjoyed the snow. I enjoyed the people there, the city, the food. Once they let the fans come back, the fans were amazing. I had an awesome time in Philly. It's nothing but love from Philly. Coming from Philly, it's nothing but love. I appreciate every single fan, every single person, every single player, every person that I met in Philly, you know, was an amazing experience. Just being back in L.A., man, it's just the city, just the Lakers, just everything, you know, just being around. You know, the guys that we won a championship, being around the fans and just the sun, the beach, and being able to go to one of my favorite restaurants here in Cali, which is called The Window American Beauty. It's a burger spot.
Excellent.
And I don't eat burgers, but every weekend I get one burger. So that's my spot, and I'm glad to be back home.
Are you still doing that thing where you eat an apple a day and that's pretty much it? What's your diet like these days?
Yes. During the off season, I kind of took me a week or two off, and now I'm about to start back. It's about time to get back to business, to training and eating right. So I'm still eating my apples every day, 2-3 apples a day, and always staying healthy.
Dwight Howard is with us. Dwight, let's go back to 2020 when you won the title. Why do you think that went so well? What was the main key to you guys coming together and winning that title in the bubble?
I think it was just all of us understood how important a championship is. And, you know, we've had guys on our team who have won. Obviously, you know, you have LeBron, who's won a couple rings, Rondo, who had won a ring. You know, so just for us, it's like, man, this is our time. You know, we don't want to miss out on this opportunity. You know, we have the right team. We have all the tools, the talent, and we have the heart. And we showed it, and we got, you know, I think one of the hardest championships to ever happen. You know, being in a bubble, being away from our family, our friends, no fans in the stands, COVID, you know, being in a hotel for 4 months, being able to go anywhere, but staying in our rooms. It was a little difficult, but, you know, we made it out together, and we're looking forward to actually doing the parade. You know, I want a parade.
Take me back a little bit. After 2020, you win the world championship, obviously, as you mentioned, in the bubble, and you did not return. You wound up in Philly instead. How surprised were you? How disappointed were you that you didn't return with the Lakers for 2021?
Oh, man, I was hurt. I went and cried in the car.
Oh.
But no, I was hurt, actually. I wanted to stay in L.A., and I was shocked that things happened the way that it happened last year. But you know, I just stayed positive. I went to Philly and, you know, tried to give the 76ers 120% every night, and it just enjoy the game. And it worked out for me coming back in L.A. And I'm just so happy to be home. I don't think you guys understand or can fathom how excited and how much energy I have flowing through my body right now. I'm just trying to contain it and save it for the season.
All right, so Dwight, the exciting future for the Lakers is loaded with all-stars, Olympic gold medalists. You're one of them. The one knock, if there is one, is that the team is old. You skew old on the age side. When you hear that, how do you respond?
Are we old? I didn't know being in your 30s was old. I thought when you get old, you're like 80, fine. I thought 70 to 90 to 100. I thought that was old. I thought being 30 was kind of like midlife. You know, you're kind of really trying to figure certain things out, kind of like in your prime. So I don't see us as being old. I see us as being experienced. But also, I think that with our age, you know, it just shows our maturity in this game, how hard we're going to play, the effort that we're going to give. And we also understand that every moment counts. You know, we don't have that long in this league. And so by people saying we're old, I think that's just going to give us just a little bit more edge. You know, it's going to make us go harder because – you know, everybody's calling us old, and they feel like we can't accomplish the things that we can accomplish. But, you know, you look at this team, you know, we have guys who play 18 years, 19 years, 16 years, 13, 14. You know, you got some guys who built up some mileage in this league and who understand how to play and go deep in the playoffs. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. And I think the biggest thing we got to do is just stay locked in, stay focused, and not allow what people are saying to affect what we do in the locker room. And, you know, we'll be fine.
You know, when you were here in 2020, there was a big two, obviously LeBron James, Anthony Davis. Now there's a big three. Russell Westbrook is now part of a big three here in Los Angeles. You've been around Russ. You've obviously played against. How do you think Russ fits into what the Lakers have got going on with LeBron and AD?
Well, I think Russ just adds another dimension to our team that is going to really be difficult for teams to stop him. You know, he's moving at 100 miles an hour on the court. He's going full speed downhill. He's making plays. He averages a triple-double. Like, I don't think people understand how hard that is to do in the NBA. And I'm looking forward to playing with him. I think he's going to really make our team a lot better. Just his, the dynamic of him getting rebounds, you know, that's big. You have myself, AD, LeBron, Trevor, Carmelo, all these guys who love to rebound. And then you add another great rebounder in Russell. I just hope we don't be fighting each other for rebounds. I'm just kidding. But I think that we'll be fine. You know, I love Russ. I love his attitude. And he's always been, you know, somebody that people have always had something bad to say about his game. But this man gives 110%. What else can you ask for? I mean, just he has a triple-double in almost every game. That's amazing. And I'm looking forward to that.
Dwight, can't wait to – I'm so glad you're back, man. We love your enthusiasm.
I missed you guys. Yeah.
And by the way, Dwight, while you were gone, you would not believe the number of people who called in and said, I wish we still had Dwight. People never stopped loving you last year, man.
I never stopped loving you guys too, man. I appreciate you guys so much. I think this year is going to be filled with a lot of love and joy and laughter. And hopefully this season we can bring our family back together. The Lakers family, Laker Nation all the way around the world. We need it. We need some love to balance out all this hate that's been going around. So this is going to be a good year this year.
All right. Awesome, man. Hey, Dwight, thanks a lot for coming on. We're so excited for this year. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Let's get that parade, baby. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's get that parade. Yeah, didn't get a parade in 2020.
Well, they could get one if they win again now. And thing, you know, piggybacking on something you said, we heard from people all year why'd they let Dwight Howard go? It's a mistake. Dwight Howard was perfect on the roster in 2020, blah, blah, blah.
He was.
Can you believe the – and this just goes to show you, you can always rewrite a narrative.
I was thinking about this too, yeah.
When he left here voluntarily to sign as a free agent with the Rockets in 2013 –
remember, we had that little sign on the side of Staples, stay D12.
Yeah, the Lakers did a whole ad campaign in an attempt to keep him. And I remember, I can tell the story now, I probably couldn't have told it then, but one of my bosses at the Lakers told me, I said, you know, that seems weird. The Lakers have never had to beg to keep a guy.
Yeah, true.
And my one of my bosses said, we went to his agent and we said, we'd really like to keep Dwight in a Laker uniform. Do you have any suggestions as to what might appeal to him? And the agent said, Dwight wants to be wooed. He wants to feel wanted.
Right.
So that was the emphasis of the Stay D12 campaign.
Stay D12.
It didn't work.
Nope.
It was
embarrassing because we made this big campaign and then he went somewhere else. And as a Laker fan, I was embarrassed.
Right. It seems that he has completely reinvented his image in Los Angeles, which is not easy to do. Like, you were at the game the other night, and you heard, like, those guys just being relentlessly booed.
Yes.
That was the reaction the first time Dwight came back to Staples Center as a member of the Rockets.
Right.
And then he bounced around the league, went to a different team every year for several times, finally got a ring with the Lakers in 2020. And now I think not only is he happy to be back, but to your point that you mentioned to him at the end, the Laker fans are ecstatic to have him. And yes. May, 7 years ago, was the exact opposite.
Well, how many times did I say during the course of the season, we should have kept Dwight. We needed Dwight. We could use Dwight. We could use the rim protection, the energy, the excitement that comes along with Dwight. I think he is a perfect fit for this roster. And you know, a lot of these guys, and I use the example of the movie The Expendables, a lot of these guys, this is like their last best chance to win a ring. Last best chance to win a ring. This is it. And I think a lot of guys, Dwight Howard, Trevor Ariza, who we'll talk to next hour, a lot of these guys completely bought in because this is their last and best chance to rack up a ring.
Right. And Ariza already has one. I would imagine the idea of him getting another one, and we'll ask him about this.
Bookend it, yeah.
Yeah, is like motivation for a guy. Nick, most of the times once you win a ring, you kind of get that monkey off your back.
Yes.
I'm thinking Ariza. He's been on 10 teams. I'm thinking he's thinking, okay, I've been blessed with a huge gift here. And that's why, one of the reasons why I think this whole thing's going to work. And again, I get all the old jokes. I get that the Lakers are older. They're not building the team for the next 10 years. They're building it for the next 10 months. That's all that matters. They're all in on this season. And that's why I think it's going to be really fun.
You know, they also did a nifty little thing, John, because yes, it's all about this year. It's about the next 10 months. Completely agree. They also snuck in some really good young players at the very end of that free agent. You know, THT they kept.
THT is 20. Kendrick Nunn is Kendrick Nunn, I think, is 25.
And Malik Monk's
23.
Yes. So they snuck in some young guys at the end who can still develop. Some people think, hey, I'd start THT. I've heard that from college. Hey, start THT.
You've heard that from me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love him. I love his game. And I also think he's a long defender, which, and Frank Vogel responds to guys who can play defense. So if he shows, you know, camp starts in less than 2 months.
Yeah.
The first preseason game is in less than 2 months.
Wow.
I take that back. Camp starts in like a month and a half. But October 3rd, which is going to be a crazy day in L.A., the Lakers play at 12:30.
Yep.
It's the Dodgers' final day of the season.
Ooh.
And the Rams play at SoFi all at the same time.
All at the same time?
Yeah. So, and I think the Lakers play Brooklyn that day.
That's going to be impossible.
Right. So it's going to be nuts that day for us.
All right. Coming up next, we all know that people have been behaving badly on airlines. And we got a viral video today of an alleged flight attendant for Frontier Airlines describing how he restrained a passenger using duct tape.
You guys gave me a hard time about Flying Frontier.
Exactly. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So we've talked about this, the way people, for whatever reason, after the pandemic, are rude. They've forgotten how to be polite. They've forgotten how to be kind, John.
Yes, very much so.
Do you agree with that? I mean, I told that story about the guy at the restaurant who walked to the metal door at the kitchen and said, "Hey, my wife is hungry. Where's her food?" I'm like, are you serious? You're really going to walk to the kitchen and say that?
We had that whole discussion last week about ninja flight attendants, how people have been so rude on flights that these flight attendants have been forced to get physical, which leads us to this story.
So a flight attendant by the name of Alfredo Rivera, there was a passenger that was arrested after a flight, and in the meantime, he duct taped him to his seat because he was so out of control. Here is Alfredo Rivera telling this story.
Belligerent passenger causing sheer chaos in the air, and it got so bad that flight attendants had to duct tape the man to his seat. Ever since masks were required on airplanes, flight attendants say that their work has become downright dangerous.
Now understand something. I'm a flight attendant. That means I attend the flights. Sometimes our job has us attending to crazy people. If you push us too far, you're going to have to attend this ass whooping. You see, because on this particular flight, I'm sitting in the jump seat and I'm just looking at him like the damn fool. He's spitting and cussing and going crazy. I say, that's enough. I got up and I walked over there. And by the way, this man smelled like a pack of Marlboro cigarettes, four shots of Everclear alcohol, and regret. So I know something's about to go down. At this point, he touched all over my coworker's breast. And where he f***ed up at is when he touched my c***s, because I don't play that. So what I did is I took out the duct tape. I said, he got scared, start stuttering, say, hold up, wait a minute, something ain't right. I said, yeah, we about to mummify your ass now, boy. So we wrapped him up. Better than any Christmas present you ever see. He won't be coming on no more Frontier flights at all.
That guy should be the PR spokesman for Frontier. It's so good that there is some speculation on the internet that that guy might be a comedian, that wasn't the actual...
Newsweek is officially reporting that he is a comedian. He did get interviewed by the news, wherever the hell that was, Local 10 news, I'm not sure, in Norwalk, Ohio, the incident happened. And it's not real, but it's still funny.
Yeah, if you watch the duct tape thing, the way he can get away with it is he kind of looks like the guy
that
duct taped him to the seat. But to your original point, this, for lack of a better term, rudeness that has come out of the pandemic has got to stop. What in the world? Why are people unloading for no reason? Just start treating people how you'd want to be treated. Like that guy at the restaurant you talked about last week. Shut up.
Better than any Christmas present you ever see.
Oh, man. I love smelled like Marlboro's, Everclear, and regret.
Yeah, the best one is we're about to mummify him.
my college roommate got mummified, as they would say, as we were getting hazed at Bowling Green State University, and he got duct taped to the goalpost. I forget what it was that he did wrong. He did something wrong. He didn't remember where the president of the fraternity was from or some stupid thing like that. And he got duct taped. It took us an hour to unduct taped him. And by the way, I think getting unduct taped is far worse than getting duct taped.
We duct taped a guy to Tommy Trojan on the USC campus one year.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. But
getting out of it is a that is tough.
Yeah.
That
now
hurts.
You can't do anything like that anymore.
Yeah.
You'll end up in court or jail or somewhere.
We about to mummify your ass.
All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz has got a bunch of stuff to throw at us, and we'll let you know. We've already talked to Wayne Ellington and Dwight Howard. Next hour, we're going to talk to Trevor Ariza, who is returning to Los Angeles where he won his first championship ring. He's looking to bookend that. We'll get into it with Trevor coming up for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Don't forget, you got to follow Lindsay on Instagram at Lindsay Baseball. If you're not doing it, you're a loser. All right, Lindsay, what do you got going?
I appreciate your support, Mace, but I kind of like it better when I say it. Like, follow me on Instagram at Lindsay Baseball. You know, it's kind of like the part of the bit, isn't it?
Just trying to pump you up.
Oh, well, thanks. I appreciate it. All right, so it's no secret that Tom Brady takes his diet pretty seriously, and apparently he also notices when others around him make poor health decisions. Just ask play-by-play guy Ian Eagle, who recently appeared on the SI Media podcast and told a great story about Tom Brady making fun of his breakfast. Eagle explained that one time before a game in Foxborough, he was running low on sleep, and as someone who does not drink coffee, decided to grab a Pepsi at 9 a.m. to wash down a donut for a little pick-me-up. Well, okay. Tom Brady walked into the room, and he made fun of his sugar-loaded breakfast. Then, 3 weeks later at a game, brought up the Pepsi donut incident yet again. Mm. He's also told Eagle that he's never drank a soda in his life during that whole breakfast-shaming incident. Is it okay for Tom Brady to do this? And do you believe that he's never drank a pop before in his life? Swipe left or swipe right.
Mace, what does my wife say to you or anyone else if she sees them drinking soda?
It is liquid death.
Yes. So it's very hard for me to swipe left on this because my wife is a soda shamer. She refuses to allow any of it in our house. She used to drink a bunch of Diet Coke a day.
Yep.
Lindsay, and when she got breast cancer in 2011, she did a deep dive on nutrition and found that soda pop, in her opinion, is, as Mace put it, liquid death.
Yes.
And so it's not allowed in my house, so I have to swipe right on and support Tom Brady. Mace, how about you?
And what's wrong with a donut, Tom? Seriously, a donut. I love donuts. Yeah, whatever Tom's doing, it's clearly working. I don't think he should enforce that with other people. Like, that's your bit. You do your TB12 thing. Don't try to get anybody else to do your stuff unless they ask. And in the case of Tom Brady, you know that scene in When Harry Met Sally where Rob Reiner's mom says, "I'll have what she's having"?
Right.
I'm starting to think with Tom Brady, I'll have what he's having. Whatever
you're buying
doing,
in, you're going to get the magic pajamas, going to start eating avocado ice cream.
Whatever he's doing is clearly working. He turned 44, and he's the Super Bowl champion quarterback. Whatever he's doing, I'm going to go in on now. I believe in TB12.
Well, you do one thing already that he does.
Which is?
He sleeps a minimum of 8 hours a night no matter what.
Nice.
No matter what is happening, if like one of his kids is sick, his wife deals with it. He just says the one thing I need while I'm a professional athlete is I got to sleep 8 hours a night.
God, sleep is so underrated. You don't he strikes not know me what as, you're missing.
He strikes me as someone who like has to have that exact 8 hours of sleep so badly that he like goes into one of those chambers and puts on like one of those eye masks.
Right.
With like a do not disturb sign outside of it.
Oh, maybe I should do that.
Hey, I sleep with an eye mask.
No, no. What about a chamber though? Like a oxygen chamber.
You need
chamber.
A sleep chamber?
Heck yeah.
Taking it to the next level.
Why not?
Put that in the Ireland, what do you call that room? The room with the gigantic TV and all the...
The playroom.
The playroom. There you go. The John Ireland playroom with the magic massage chair.
Yes.
Which I have asked for Christmas the last 5 years and still do not have.
They're too expensive. You ain't getting
They are expensive. Yeah. One will never spring for that. Never.
What's next, Linz?
All right, so O.J. Simpson was recently interviewed for The Athletic's NFL 100 list, and he had some interesting things to say about his life. When he asked what he believes will be the focus of his obituary when he dies, Simpson said, "I hope it starts out with football. I know they're going to add the other stuff." He said he, you know, the L.A. thing is what he referred to, you know, the incident where there was a double murder and
the
he was
L.A. thing. Oh.
He was found not guilty of. But he also bragged about what his life is like today in 2021, saying, quote, "How many Americans, even today, wouldn't like to live my life? I don't work. I play golf 4 or 5 days a week. I go out to dinner a couple of nights with friends. People want to buy me drinks. I'm always taking pictures with people. Ladies love to hug me." Do you guys think O.J. Simpson is right and some people still look at him in an admirable way? Swipe left or swipe right.
I mean, swipe right. Double murder should be in the first paragraph of his obituary.
Paragraph? How about sentence?
Yeah, I mean, it's
Seriously, write the first sentence of O.J.'s obit. It would be something like this. It would be O.J. Simpson, a Hall of Fame and
NFL
Heisman Trophy winning running back. Who was accused of double murder and found liable for it, passed away today at the age of 85. It's in the first sentence.
Yeah, first sentence. Absolutely. And the L.A. thing, he's calling it the L.A. thing.
I mean, the L.A. thing.
Who gets their picture taken with O.J. Simpson? Who's proud of that? Who gets a picture with O.J. and puts it up on their wall and say, "Look, I'm right here with the guy with the bloody gloves and the knife. I'm right here with him."
We talked about that once where we, like, I think someone called in and said he golfed with them or whatever, and Michael was on that day, and everyone was saying, like, "No, I would never, like, people wouldn't even say hi to him or shake his hand if he stuck his hand out to shake their hand." And he's saying that people love him and buy him drinks and take photos with him. I feel like that's kind of hard to believe.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe, too.
Yeah, well, you know, Mason,
News of the L.A. thing has reached all corners of the country.
Mason, I've asked you this question before. If... let's say you're waiting for a table and you're in front of a restaurant.
Yep.
And OJ's walking out, and for some reason he recognizes you.
Yep.
And he says, "Hey, Steve Mason, just want to let you know I listen to you every day and I really enjoy your show." And he sticks his hand out. What do you do?
I do not shake it.
What do you do?
I say, "Glad you're out there, but I don't have any respect or feeling for you whatsoever."
You would not.
You would not.
First of all, you ruined it all by starting with "glad you're out there." Why are you? No, you're not glad he's out there. You wish he was in there.
He should be in prison.
Let's do it. Let's do it in a different way. He, because I play golf now, kind
of
in my own way, and OJ is known to play at Rancho Park.
Right. So he got kicked out of Riviera.
I get assigned to a foursome with OJ. There is no way I'm playing that round under no circumstances whatsoever. Playing a round of golf with OJ.
That's a safety issue. If you're on the tee and OJ's standing behind you, you're in harm's way. Come on.
Correct.
I've told the story many times of my buddy Tom Murray, who used to live right off of Rockingham. And so Tom, who I anchored with at KCAL for many, many years, is out jogging one day. And because he was a sportscaster and OJ lived around the corner, they were, you know, neighbors. They were friendly. So the whole trial happens. OJ gets off. He's back at his house. He's out checking his mail. And Murray is running by. And anybody who knows Tom knows this is exactly par for the course. OJ sticks out his hand and waves and goes, "Hey, Tom." And Murray, without looking up, keeping his head straight, runs, just goes, "Guilty, guilty, guilty, nice. Guilty, and keeps nice. Running. Now, I probably couldn't do that.
You know, years ago when OJ was running around L.A. right after the L.A. thing, as he calls it, he showed I own movie theaters at USC. I owned the USC movie theaters for 20 years.
Yeah, the ones right next to campus.
Yeah, the University Village. And OJ, on Christmas Day, I get a phone call from the manager of the theaters. And the manager says, OJ Simpson is here. Should I let him in? And I'm like, sure. Take the guy's money. If the guy's going to pay for a movie ticket, fine. Just don't sit behind him.
Right. Well, I was going to say, couldn't you have said, no, he's a danger to our other customers. Please turn him away.
Yeah, I wasn't there at that point.
Yeah.
I wasn't there. All I'm thinking about is the money, right? Get some OJ money.
Yeah.
Is what I'm thinking.
You're running a business, and it might have caused a bigger scene had you kept him out.
Definitely would have.
But I'll tell you what, Mace, in 2021, it would have gone viral, and it would have been great for your business. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it would have gone that way.
The movie was Jingle All the Way, by the way. It was Christmas Day, and the movie was Jingle All the Way. I remember it very clearly. All right, Lynn, you got one more?
I do. So, my computer doesn't freeze here. Okay, a major retailer is reviewing all its prices after a customer shared a photo of a $27.85 beer being sold at LaGuardia Airport. A traveler tweeted a photo on July 7th of a drinks menu at one of the airport's restaurants showing the sky-high price for Sam Adams Summer Ale. A spokesperson for the company said that this restaurant took the initiative on its own and the price was later, quote-unquote, corrected to what it should be, which is still $18.15
wow.
for a beer. Are you guys people that are willing to pay those crazy-high airport prices for alcohol? Swipe left or swipe right.
Well, it depends where you're going and how long your layover is. Because it's Mace, it's not like you can carry your own beer with you.
Yeah, can't carry your own stuff with you. Can't carry a bottle of water.
And some of those swanky Hollywood restaurants charge 20 plus for a drink or for a glass of wine. So, you know, it depends. It depends on the circumstances. Lindsay, let's put it this way. I would not rule it out.
I don't drink before a flight. It doesn't mean I'm not in an elevated state. I mean, quite literally, because thank God for edibles, but...
Puta yesca!
But no, I don't like paying those airport prices. What's interesting is the Pittsburgh airport years ago decided they put basically a shopping mall in their airport. And
right. The
rule is you have to charge whatever you charge at one of your other locations for what's in the airport. In other words, if a drink is... $3 at McDonald's down the street, it's $3 at the airport. And what they found was they actually sold more
stuff. Yeah, I read that.
Because it was less expensive. So raising the prices isn't always the best way to make money. So, yeah, I totally get that, but I would say I'm not going to spend that much money on a drink at the airport.
Yeah, I'm out on that. I mean, I'm not a big drinker anyway, but even if I was like super stressed or whatever, I feel like it's $25 or whatever for a Bloody Mary. And like, I'll just fall asleep on the plane.
Yeah. By the way, it's International Beer Day, John. Are you a big beer drinker?
No. I will sometimes I'll drink beer depending on where I am or what I'm doing, but I'm more of a whiskey guy.
Yeah, I am. I'm not a beer drinker. I got sick on beer so many times when I was at Bowling Green. It was always kegs. I was going to throw a Labor Day party till all the rest of this stuff came down, all mass and all that. I was going to throw a Labor Day party, but now I think it's not appropriate. But we were going to do a kegger. We're going to have kegs here. That was going to be the theme of the party, was kegs, like old-fashioned the way you used to in college.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to wait till 2022 to throw a party.
Yeah, damn. I'm still rooting for the holidays. I'm still rooting for Christmas.
I think it might be early, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm bummed that we had to cancel that one. All right. Don't forget, at some point today, there's a lie. There's a lie of the day. I'm doing it today. Ireland, I think Monday you do the lie, okay?
Excellent. Okay.
We will alternate lies.
Love it.
And that's how the guy won his way into night at a local ball game with.
Oh, he guessed. He correctly guessed the lie of the day.
He got the lie of the day. Exactly. Roger, very smart guy, figured it out. All right, coming up next for you. I have a question for you, John. I have heard this over and over and over again from gamblers that the best time to wager on the NFL is during the preseason. Preseason football started last night. I want to ask you about that when we come back. Plus, we got Trevor Ariza coming up for you, too. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.